Top story, as always, is brought to you by Telecel, connecting energies and holy insecticide spray and coil. Enjoy holy sleep. My name is Samuel Kojo-Brace. Now, proponent and supporters of the Human Sexual Right and Family Values Bill are tonight accusing Vice President Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia of paying lip service to their bill, as they insist the NPP flag bearer has no real intentions of protecting Ghanaian cultural values, despite putting it in the manifesto. After months of debate between the government, human rights groups, and anti-LGBTQ factions, the bill to ban gay rights remains unsigned due to the presidency's concerns, and it's currently a subject of controversy at the court. Bawumia's 260-page manifesto vaguely promises value-based leadership to deliver equality and prosperity without discrimination. In meetings with religious groups, he said his religion forbids him from supporting gay rights. But the question is, did he take a clear stance in the manifesto? My colleague Michael Ashley has been studying the document and joins me with details of what a future NPP government will do in that space. Michael, take us through the specifics on what they intend to do to protect rights, especially with a raging conversation on LGBT rights in the country.
Okay, Bray, so let me take you to page 111, synonymous to some of the promises they made in Agenda 1 and the like. So, Bawumia presidency, and I'll be quoting some of them for you, will re-establish the preeminence of value-based leadership predicated on selflessness, excellence, ethics, justice, integrity, transparency, diligence, accountability, with the purpose of securing for ourselves and prosperity, posterity, the blessings of liberty, equality of opportunity, and prosperity without discrimination. It continues, Brace, doesn't end. It says, specifically, we will, through NCCE and with the assistance of the Chieftaincy Institution, faith-based organizations and CSOs and youth organizations, one, initiate a nationwide conversation on the moral vision and values that should define national leadership and the role of citizens in maintaining an orderly society and in advancing growth and development. Two, develop guidelines for ensuring the integration of these values, that whatever values come out of that conversation, what he's hoping that will be put into a school curricula and public education. And then finally, one line, very short, says, protect Ghanaian cultural and family values. Not forgetting that the current bill that is a bone of contention right now is called the Human Sexual Rights and Family Value Bill.
Well, so that is what, flag bearer Dr. Bawumia stated or promised in the manifesto.
In the manifesto.
Now, co-sponsor of the anti-LGBTQI bill, Emmanuel Kwesi-Bedra, says Dr. Bawumia is only paying lip service to their bill, insisting the NPP flag bearer has no real intentions of protecting Ghanaian cultural values.
That the NPP administration, being championed or led by Alhaji Muhammadu Bawumia, will not, and I repeat, will not sign the anti-LGBTQI bill, even if he becomes the president of Ghana. Since he did not clearly ask his president, who currently is the vice president to the president, to sign or push him to sign, I don't see what he'll be doing when he becomes the president. That is all we all don't know. So we need to find out from him what exactly does he mean by protecting Ghanaian cultural value. If he's talking about the protecting the the anti-LGBT community, or whether he wants to prohibit the act of LGBT in the country, he has to come back to explain himself.
So that's Emmanuel Kwesi-Bedra. He is one of the proponent of this anti-LGBTQI bill, which is currently in Parliament, waiting to be served on the president for him to assent. Then it becomes a law. In the same manifesto, the anti-graft campaigners say the list of promises presented to fight corruption is a far cry from the robust measures needed to tackle the deep-rooted issues of corruption. Papani still is with me in the studio to tell us details of this. Papani, let us understand the list of policies and promises from the MPP to tackle corruption.
Okay, so again, let me take you to page 123. Now, these are just bits and pieces of what they intend to do collectively to try and limit the contact of personal appointees of government to come into contact, especially with money. So you would realize the vision of the party and Bawumia. So first of all, it talks about downsizing government. Now, they want to reduce the number of people, of course, who have to be in power, who have to be in an office for you to go and see them at the end of the day. So to achieve this objective, it says that they will cap ministerial appointments to 50. He used the word cap. To commit to working with not more than 50 ministers of state. Again, he talks about capping the size of the legislature. Now, we'll amend the relevant acts and regulations to delink the creation of districts from constituencies to end the automatic increases in the size of parliament following the creation of new districts. Now, overall, their objective is to use digital tools to significantly reduce opportunities and incentives for corrupt conduct in the public service, both by executive appointees and civil servants. Now, he goes on. Now, they are going to look at establishing an e-marketplace for public procurement, similar to Korea's online e-procurement system, which will increase competition and reduce cost and prices of items being procured by government. Just last week, you heard the committee in parliament who was trying to probe the Auditor General's report look through some of this, and some of that will be referred to the court. Now, if you go on to specific things that they want to do, he says that we want to review Section 87 of the Public Procurement Act to stipulate a maximum variation in contract prices to prevent the sometimes large and arbitrary variations well above original contract terms. It goes on to talk about the general thrust of our strategy is to expand the list of office holders whose conduct should be subject of public scrutiny. And again, it continues. Now, enact a Corrupt Practices Act to consolidate all anti-corruption and corruption-related legislation and offences that are currently scattered across several pieces of legislation into an omnibus body of provisions offering anti-corruption institutions a harmonised reference point to draw their mandate. What they're trying to wrap up, it says that they want to review Article 286 of the Constitution and relevant legislation on assets and liabilities declaration. He wants to do more about that again. He wants to expand asset declaration by public office holders to include, among others, senior staff and heads of regulatory and public institutions not previously covered, and require asset declarations to be made or updated every 2 years rather than the 4 years. And then finally, he wants to place a limit on foreign official travel by ministers, CEOs and senior civil servants, as well as manually publish official travels undertaking. So they expect that when a minister is going to travel, he'll publish all his travels and everybody will just, and then finally annually publish the list of all beneficiaries of public scholarships. So on corruption, this is exactly what you get, the entire section of the well over 260 page document. This is what they want to do in terms of corruption.
This is still a top story. Let's bring in Emmanuel Kwesi-Bedra, who is one of the co-sponsors of the anti-LGBTQ bill, joining us on the line. Now, grateful to you for joining us. Now, the vice president, enumerated, or the party, the MPP party, enumerated several things they want to do to ensure that our cultural values are protected. You say that's not enough. What exactly were you expecting the party to put across?
Well, thank you, Kwame, and good evening once again. As you rightly mentioned, Parliament of Ghana passed a bill called Human Sexual Rights and Family Value Act, or bill, which is yet to be assented by the President to become a full-fledged act. And so all that I was expecting the Vice President to do, remember some time ago he went to the mosque and told our brothers from the Muslim community, Muslim faith, that he will not condone the LGBT activities in Ghana. And so I was expecting him right away, not even to put this in their manifesto, but to tell the president, please, sign this bill to become an act. I mean, he's his assistant. He's worked the president for almost 8 years now. What prevents him from telling the president that, president, sign this bill for me, than putting it in a manifesto, which only God knows whether this manifesto will see the light of the day. If you look at the manifesto, my brother, as I read through,
He didn't say he was going to even sign the bill. He said he's not going to initiate a nationwide conversation on the moral visions and values that should define national leadership. And then he continues the role of citizens in maintaining order, orderly society, and advancing growth and development. So clearly, there's nothing in there that will tell you that he's for this bill or against this bill, apart from the statement that he made when he went to the Muslim mosque the last time he mentioned this bill or mentioned something about the bill. And so clearly, he's not for the bill. I don't think MPP wants this bill to come to fruition. I don't think Alhaji Bawumia wants us to believe that he's going to initiate any new bill. In any case, this bill was a wide consultation with a variety of people, including the clergy, the chiefs, our traditional rulers, and a consortium of moral conscience of this country. You know, the coalition of social rights and Ghanaian family value that put this coalition, that put this bill together. And so if he cannot trust this coalition or the 275 members of parliament, including MPP members of parliament who passed this bill, then I don't know what he meant by initiating a nationwide conversation.
But if he says we'll protect Ghanaian culture and family values, aren't you on the same leg? That there are values that are accepted as this is what defines us as Ghanaians, and he says I'm going to protect those values.
I don't know which values he's talking about. Maybe it's a different value that we are also looking at. Maybe you are looking at two different lenses. If the same value protect Ghanaian culture, family value, which is the same as our human social rights, the family value that is what he wants to protect, then he should have asked the president to sign the bill.
So your issue is that he has not asked the president to sign the bill, not necessarily what he said.
Yes, that's exactly my issue. My issue is that I've been working with you for all these years. You know my moral persuasion. You know my plan on issues of this nature. I've even publicly mentioned it. Why don't you sign this bill to become a law for us, all of us, to be on the same wavelength? I don't need to become a president before I put this thing together. As a matter of fact, I wasn't a president. I'm just an honorary member of parliament.
Well, but now he's presenting his own vision, things that would define his government. And he says, I will protect Ghanaian cultural and family values. I mean, that's enough a commitment coming from someone who wants to be president.
Do we want the protection of Ghanaian family value, or we want a law that will forbid the act that we are all talking about? Is that what we are looking for? Or we want a rhetoric? We want a statement to say, a statement that is included in a manifesto to say that the Ghanaian family value will protect it. Is that what we are looking for? We want a law that will protect it. This is a question we should all be asking ourselves. I believe that the law supersedes or goes far above just, you know, a manifesto promise that I'm going to protect it.
But how do you get a nation to buy into a positive thing you want to put across, than putting it in the curricula that students or peoples from the word go will be learning what really defines their community?
It does not restrain people from performing the art at all. We are putting a restraining order through legislation. And so if the legislation, that legislation can be learned through the various system, as he has put it there, through the school curricula. But if you don't have a legislation, anybody at all can say, well, I have my own, you know, way of doing things. This is the way I want to do it. Whether you educate me or not, I will do it. But if there's a law, it will prevent you from, performing or being acting in a manner which does not conform to our cultural norms and values. And so for me, the law comes first. It's like chicken and egg situation. Which one comes first? Is it the chicken or the egg? I believe the chicken comes first. So if you have a chicken, the chicken can, lay eggs. And that is what we are looking for.
He hasn't said if he becomes president and such a law is presented, he won't sign. Aren't you jumping ahead of time?
Well, the law is before him now.
He's
the law is before his.
He's not a president.
He's not a president.
Yes.
So what is he doing in Jubilee House? He's a vice president, for God's sake.
Yes.
He's a vice president. And he but the law
is also specific on who signs a bill into law, isn't it?
So if I'm working with you, Kwame, in Joy FM now, and I'm your assistant, can't I advise you to do it, to take a decision? And if you don't buy my decision, you don't buy my advice, it means that whatever I do with you will eventually come out in the open. And so if I advise you are not taking it, it means I cannot work with you. You should have resigned long ago on moral grounds, that because you have not signed this bill, and I believe in the Ghanaian culture values and value and moral values, since you do not sign, I'm resigning from the presidency. He didn't do it. He only came out to, you know, make statement. But what about telling the president that you should sign, because we belong to the same party, we belong to the same ideology. You are my president, but I am your vice, and I'm supposed to be assisting you. Please go ahead and do it. I mean, this thing of hiding behind words that is being done now, it's like he's running away from all the acts that the president has done and coming out to say that when I become a president, I'll do this and that. It doesn't work there. I mean, he cannot run away from any act that has been committed by the current regime.
So but you see, away from him being a vice and you expecting him to tell his boss to sign it, he says, give me the opportunity to be president. And when I am president, I'll protect the Ghanaian cultural and family values. This one is when he becomes the boss himself and he can take decisions on his own. I mean, why don't you rather let him become president? If he doesn't do it, then you can criticize him on it.
He doesn't have any opportunity to become a president. Ghanaians will decide whether he should become a president or not. But in any case, what we have now is what we are talking about. We have a law before him and his boss at the Jubilee House. He should just advise his boss to sign, and then we'll all be happy. If he's a man enough to rule this country, he should be able to tell his boss, look, my boss, this is our culture values. Please sign this bill. And then when I come, that is unlikely event that he come, then I can ask NCC and the education ministry to include it in our curriculum and ask NCC to educate Ghanaians about it. If you haven't signed it, he's not going to initiate it. When is he going to initiate it? Is it next year or next 2 years? He shouldn't worry at all. Ghanaians know what exactly they are looking for, and I believe that barring all political talk about this thing, it will be signed. If it's not signed, John Mahama will come and sign it, because he has declared long ago that he was going to sign.
So if it is signed, will you applaud Bawumia for probably convincing his boss to do so?
If Bawumia talks to the president to sign today,
yes.
Why wouldn't I applaud him? I will applaud him for allowing the president, you know, if really he's the one who did it, why wouldn't I applaud? I will applaud him so much. I'll give him my thumbs up, but not... I don't think he will be able to. He has a boss to do it.
From the way you've spoken so far, I'm asking you that if the bill is signed today, will you acknowledge him as being the one of the persons who have convinced the president to sign it?
The president should come and say that it's Bawumia who convinced me to sign it.
Okay.
Then I will congratulate him.
Emmanuel Kwesi-Bedra is MP for Whole West constituency and also a co-sponsor of the anti-LGBTQ bill, which is currently in limbo. Well, let's to our next topic on from the MPP's manifesto about the actions of the Bawumia government to deal with corruption. Let's bring in co-chair of the Citizens Movement Against Corruption, Adam Senanu. He joins us via phone here. Adam, so you heard there my colleague enumerate the things that the Bawumia-led government intends to do to fight corruption, lean government, about ensuring that even procurement processes are digitized to ensure transparency. Are these promises exhaustive to uproot corruption from this country? You argue no, but isn't there an effort there to deal with it?
Well, yes. I mean, they've enumerated a number of things that they would like to do. But I think that for me, materially, what borders my mind is you don't see them saying they're doing things starting now. I mean, if you talk about assets declaration, I mean, I would like him to say, look, I have declared my assets. I've made it transparent. I've asked everybody. We're going to ask everybody to make it transparent. I'd like him to speak to the current conduct of public officers bill, which is before them, and not propose that we will make a new law when we know there is already a draft law that has been sitting for over 2 years. I like the comments on a specialized court system to deal with anti-corruption. I like him to say, I will not, you know, make statements that impinge on cases before anti-corruption institutions, which appear to clear individuals. You know, specifics in the context of what we have experienced that we know does not augur well for the fight against corruption. Most of that is missing. So, yes, they've made comments. The digitization, I mean, in theory, yes. But look at what happened when we talked about school placement, digitizing school placement. After a certain point, we realize, again, it's human beings that manage these systems. And so if you don't take on board the issue of, as it were, the values, you know, public education, ingraining these values that people espouse, honesty, integrity, hard work, that's just not going to be enough. Digitization might work to a certain extent, but the people managing these digitized systems, when they become corrupt, they are going to make sure that it doesn't work. So I'm not entirely excited at the gamut of things that have been captured. I think that they are pressing issues, current issues that have happened under their tenure, that they ought to demonstrate that, look, we are going to, because we got through this experience, we know what went wrong, we're going to deal with it in this way. Then perhaps it will be more compelling than what we have at the moment.
Holders, to include among others senior staff and heads of regulatory and public institutions not previously covered, and require asset declaration to be made or updated every 2 years instead of every 4 years. Isn't this enough to say, I want to check how public officials become corrupt in amassing wealth, unexplained wealth?
No, it's not enough. If you were engaging the sector, and that's part of my, again, another concern. If you had engaged the sector, we would have said, look, you need to add lifestyle audit. Mm. It's not just about the declaration, but we should be able to do lifestyle audits as happen in other jurisdictions where there's a reverse proof of burden. The individual must provide proof as to how you manage to get all these resources. And it should not just be about public sector offices, because, you know, family and friends, the money may be moving out of a public sector individual into his niece or his nephew or his son, who has nothing to do with public sector. So it certainly will not be enough to talk about the asset declaration regime. Mm. And again, I keep saying, one of the questions that bothers me is, why are we not saying we are starting this now? I mean, our experience about manifestos have been that they are just talk, no action. And so why should anybody be convinced until and unless what you have put there shows or demonstrates that this is something you are willing to start now or have started now, and that you are taking actions on the current issues? There's a bit of a disconnect there.
Now, let's get some clarity on what exactly the party intends to do. Joining us now is the coordinator of the Bawumia Manifesto Committee, Dr. Isaac Owusu Mensah. Doctor, I'm grateful for joining. So what exactly do you intend to do with this take on corruption in the manifesto?
Thank you very much. We all know that when it comes to issues of corruption, it's about leadership. It's about what the leader seeks to show to the public that they are committed to get the process done. Certainly, no government or no single individual can fight corruption in this country. It's a collective responsibility, and we must all work towards that. That's the main reason why the flag bearer or the new patriotic party, we have said that we want to put in.
Dr. Owusu Mensah, he is coordinator of the Bawumia Manifesto. Do I still have you on the line? Okay, Doc is still on the line.
I'm on the line.
Yes, make your point. Yeah.
What I was saying is that certainly no individual can fight corruption alone. The government alone, it's not possible for government to fight corruption. But it's important that we put in the necessary systems that will fight corruption.
But you heard Adam Senanu there. I mean, they are looking for laws that stipulate exactly what should happen to someone who engages in corruption. It says digitization is not enough. Persons who are operating these systems are also liable, you know, to be corrupted. So really, they are calling for actionable things that the government intends to do to help fight corruption.
Actionable things like what, please? Because I didn't hear him 100%. I joined the line when I heard him speak.
For example, he made mention to, okay, Adam Sananu himself is on the line. Let me bring him in. Mr. Sananu, so here you have the coordinator of the committee. He's asking for what kind of actionable things you're expecting them to state.
So the conduct of public officers bill is a draft bill that's been before cabinet for the last 2 years. Mm. There is no mention of that, and then we talk about we will do a law that brings together various corruption-related things to make it easier to deal with. The logic is clear, but we already have a practical example of something that is in place that just needs to be finalized. There's no comment on that. Access declaration. We already have something. It needs to be improved, made more transparent. The question is, what is being done now? How do have we had people, as it were, declare their assets? Is he saying, I will declare mine, I have declared mine, I'm asking everybody to do the same, and I'm sure this is done? We are asking for practical things. We are saying, look at the issue of the how long it takes for cases to get through the courts. We need a specialized court system for corruption-related issues so that the precedent sanctions will be applied quickly. People realize this is a high-risk area, and not get themselves involved in actions that they know are tantamount to getting yourself into trouble.
All right.
There's that gap. There's that gap in the processes where we will know that, look, this is serious, this is robust, it will deliver results.
I'm grateful.
There's an issue about
Okay, so let me get Dr. Owusu to provide some answers. Doc, so here you have it. He stated exactly what they expect the minister to do, the president to say. Yeah.
Thank you very much. I think that what we have now is improvement upon what is existing. At the stage as we speak, if you are a public officer, you declare your asset in an envelope, send it to Auditor General's office, it's sealed. At the end of 4 years, if you are out of government and nothing is found on you, it is finished. But the system we are bringing, it makes it difficult for you to do that, because every 2 years, you will be required to declare your assets. Of course, we are not at the 100% stage as Mr. Sananu is looking for. But what we are bringing about is an improvement upon the current status. Number two, it also, I heard him earlier on talk about digital system is not enough to guarantee that. Certainly, we agree. We all went to the stage whereby school placement is being digitized, but unfortunately, people think that it's not going well. Fine, it's still better than before, but we can all work towards improving it. The point I want to make is that it's not enough to put only the executive in the context of ensuring that the country is corrupt-free. The entire public sector have a responsibility, and this is the responsibility that the president to be is charting the course to provide the appropriate leadership, so that all these issues that he has raised from the civil society perspective and also from the civil servant point of view, we can all work together to get to a convention whereby the country will be much better off in terms of corrupt activities. Certainly, digitization is not enough. We all know that. You can digitize the system, but individuals manipulating the system can be as worse off than you expect them to be. Number two, the next stage is that you talked about draft bill of public office. Of course, it can be also looked at and can be worked on. So we are not saying that we profiled the final solution.
That has been at cabinet for over 2 years, as he says. So it's not
I sit in cabinet, but I have not seen that. Maybe it's still with the AG's office. I sit in cabinet. It has not come to. I have not seen it. So maybe that AG's office or somewhere else. I sit in cabinet by the privilege given to me by His Excellency the President. I sat in cabinet from 2021 up to date. I don't miss cabinet meetings, and I always have my papers with me. We don't have it in cabinet.
Not there in cabinet. I'm grateful to you, Dr. Isaac Owusu Mensah, for joining. He's coordinator of the Dr. Bawumia Manifesto Committee. Also, thanks to you, Adam Sananu, anti-corruption campaigner. This has been Top Story. Coming up next is Newsnight with Fosti.